You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Good evening, everyone. How is everyone today?
Hello. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Here we are again.
We've got a full team in this week, haven't we, Josh?
Yes, we have. Shall we do a round robin?
Sure, round robin. I remember those back in the day. We used to have when I come from retail, if you didn't know. I spent there 35 years in management retailing. One of the things we used to do on a Monday is do a round robin, just to check in.
Yes.
And that was by phone. That was before all those gadget things. I'm sounding about 100. But yeah, round robin.
A round robin. So how are you, Sue?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm taking some time off from work at the moment, as my day job, as one would say. But no, I'm, you know, the sun's coming up. We mention this every week, but I've given up on that heat wave. I'm just thinking, if it comes, it comes, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm doing okay.
Fabulous. And you, Tanya?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, and thanks for having me again, and I'm looking forward to the over the coming days ahead, you know.
Yes.
Being part and parcel of the team.
Fabulous.
Stephen, how are you?
Yeah, so I'm good, thank you. I feel as if I say the same thing every week. I'm just busy, waiting for the sun, and it's just things are definitely starting to tick over and happen now. You know, the world, definitely London is back in, it feels as if it's back into full swing now.
Yeah, we're getting there, aren't we? Keep saying we're getting there.
Yeah.
And your good self, Tony.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Usual stuff. Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, fella. Yeah, you doing all right?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, it's good to, because I missed last week. So, well, I was doing things behind the scene, but good to get back on track. So, what we've got on the show this week?
Oh, we've got quite a trio. We've got quite a lot of things going on. We've got because I just thought it would be a really great idea, Josh. Because obviously Tanya joined us a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it would be a nice to literally interview Tanya, actually, just to get our listeners to know a bit more about Tanya. So I had the pleasure of interviewing her for this week's show. So lots of things to divulge from Tanya's story later on.
Yep. And we've also got, we're going to just have a chat about the new Moderna vaccine that people are working on, aren't we, Stephen?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people going to be very interested in that story, Josh. So it'll be nice to have a chat about that.
Yeah. And we're trying out a new feature, aren't we, where we, it's always good to have stories from around the world, which, you know, there's quite a lot of things going on, isn't there, in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So we're going to do like we're going to call it the HIV World News Roundup. So we'll do a story that's attracted us during the week.
Sort of highlights, and, you know, because it's, you know, we say this a lot, don't we, guys? You know, it's not just the UK, it's not just Europe. It's a whole world concern we're trying to change, and I think it's really important we get to know and get our listeners, give our listeners that information, what's going on, what initiatives are going on around.
Yep, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, shall we, I just want to say, actually, I was going to say this quickly, that I don't know whether you feel like this, but I, because we are starting to integrate more and socialise more. I was doing a bit of that at the weekends, and so I did a flow test. Is that what they call them? Flows.
And
I was just, it was just interesting how nervous I was about it, and how I felt really until I got that one single line, because it's either two lines, isn't it? When you got, I was just so nervous about it, and I was thinking about, oh God, tell this person, I got to tell, oh my God, oh, I saw the, and I was just reminiscing, thinking about how people must feel, like I felt when we got that HIV, go for a test. So very similar. I'm wondering if it's a very similar thing that people feel. It's
I'll tell you what quickly comes to mind, because I do them quite regular as well, because some of the work I do always reminds me, and probably Tanya will probably tune into this one as well, always reminds me when I took that first pregnancy test and you're waiting. No, I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's funny how these little things trigger. I thought, oh my God, you know, and I was so happy when those two lines, you know, I've got a beautiful daughter at the end of it. Didn't you?
I felt the same as well, you know, just having those two lines. In fact, I didn't do it myself, but I went to the doctors who tested it, and he showed me the little strip. Mm-hmm. And it had two lines, and he said to me, do you know what this means? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, this means you're pregnant. I just nearly jumped out of my chair, like, with excitement.
But it's bizarre what you said, you know, how it can trigger things, and you're right, Josh.
It can
trigger, oh my goodness, you know, it's that sort of intepidation of, oh my goodness, I hope I'm going to be okay, isn't it?
Yeah,
and also what you've got to, Matt, to say to, you know, who you've been in contact with, you know, obviously it's different with HIV and stuff, but who you've been, because you have to, so all that process that goes through your head and you're just waiting for that result. So it's just how scary it can be and fearful.
Definitely.
Yeah. HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM DAB in Brighton.
So we're going to go into this. So now there's a Moderna, who's obviously people will know, our listeners will know, is one of the vaccines for COVID. They've started human trials for its revolutionary HIV vaccine this week. Mm-hmm. So it's quite an important thing, really, isn't it? Shall I read you the story?
Yeah.
The blurb. This week, the biotech company Moderna will start human trials for its HIV vaccine. Its HIV vaccine will be the first of its kind to use messenger RNA, mRNA, an approach that Moderna used in its effective COVID-19 vaccine. So the clinical trials started on August 19th. And ends sometime around spring 2023. So it's quite a long, I suppose that's what trials do, aren't they? I suppose after. So according to the National Institute of Health Trial Registry, they will involve 56 HIV negative participants aged 18 to 56. The participants will be given one or two forms of mRNA that cause the body to form defenses against HIV infection. So in the past, HIV infections used inactive forms of the virus. So these previous trials show that these forms didn't produce any immune responses. So there was one in Thailand that was cancelled due to that. So instead, the Moderna trials will contain one of two different types of mRNA. These get the body cells to develop a protein spike on the surfaces. These spikes are similar to those embedded by HIV on a cell surface, and it begins to infect cells to reproduce. When the body recognizes the presence of this mRNA, get that right, spike, it begins producing antibodies to protect against infection. The mRNA may also allow scientists to make tweaks to the vaccine more easily. So the mRNA platform makes it easy to develop vaccines against variants because it just requires an update to the coding sequence. Did you know that there's, I didn't know there's 16 variants to HIV?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I knew there were other variants. But I didn't realise there were up to 16.
That's a lot, isn't
it?
So really, that's maybe one of the answers. The answer of the question that I was going to ask, why so long? Why hasn't it taken, you know, we found something beforehand, and that possibly could be one of the reasons we've got 16 strains.
Mm. Yeah, because it's so hard to pinpoint, isn't it? And you're trying to, with the spikes, I think that's why I get it. It's very difficult. Moderna's mRNA vaccines passed phase one testing earlier this year. Phase one trials test safely by administrating different dose strengths and observing how the body and drug interact. Then there's phase two that tests the vaccine's overall effectiveness. And then it goes to phase three, compare the safety and effectiveness of the new vaccine against the current HIV prevention medications. So if successful, the vaccine could then become widely available, helping end the epidemic that's ravaged the globe for over 40 years.
Wow.
So I don't know what you think about that. And yeah, it's just,
It's amazing, isn't it, really, to think that we are now at a point where there's a possibility of a vaccine at last. You know, we've waited so long, you know, so it's really a positive. I see it as a positive thing. Obviously, as you say, Tony, it's very, Josh, it's very early stages, but I suppose it's got a lot of different stages to go through still, but you know, it's hopeful, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think, well, that's so that people will stop taking PrEP and just have that jab. I'd take it. Yeah. Was that the deal? They'll come off all the PrEP and then they'll just have the vaccine once every year or so.
What do you mean, the trial, you mean?
The vaccine, is it going to be the same as like COVID? Like you have it once a year? You can get it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, actually. I think it's early days, isn't it, with it? So it's,
if it saves lives and saves more people getting positive, yeah, absolutely, 100% right.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Just saying about the, what you're talking to about the, why we haven't had a vaccine for 40 years. Yeah. There's another article about some critics have claimed that the lack of HIV vaccine is due to the fact that HIV has affected men and trans women who have sex with men, black people, people of colour, intravenous drug units. So it's marginalised people.
Yeah.
But actually it's because a big part of the reason is the vaccine hasn't been developed because it's so complicated.
Hence, again, I'll bring back to the 16 strains. And I know it can be forever changing. So I've always sort of understood that throughout the last years, you know, that because when people have asked, well, Sue, why haven't we got a cure? Isn't there a cure? And that's one of the answers I've sort of, you know, because HIV is a very complicated virus, you know, it mutates, it changes, and it's taken longer than, you know, to actually find that sort of vaccine cure or whatever.
It would be interesting, as you said, Tony, that how they would administer that, whether it would be a yearly thing or a monthly thing.
I
think it's a good idea that they're doing that, and we know that COVID is here to stay. I don't think it's going anywhere. So I think, you know, it's just something that we should put up with. And you know,
Tanya, do you think, and here's a question to everyone, do you think it's because of COVID, it's been massive, and this is why they've got their heads together and there's been some sort of turnaround, some change on HIV vaccine cure? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's an eye-opening for them because, you know, HIV was being taken for granted and now comes in COVID.
and everything is being taken serious because it's affecting a higher number of people in the whole world. We're not talking about one country, but the whole world is getting affected. So I think they decided to become so serious about, you know, even putting up the strength of the medication and finding out, doing some research about HIV as well.
What does everybody else think about that? Do you think because of COVID there's been a bigger response to perhaps,
Yeah, I think so. It's a new way of looking at vaccines, isn't it? How it's been developed. Yeah. They've been looking at it for years, but then it's
Yeah. Sort of
more mainstream. It's like what I was going saying earlier about the feeling nervous about getting the results. So it's everyone's having to do this now. So it just shows you how not just HIV, other things. So the other illnesses, it just makes people realise how it affects you mentally.
And how delicate our world is. Not that I'm going to go on to global warming, but how delicate our world is. And things are going to happen. And, you know, like we've just said, you know, perhaps things have been, HIV has been taken for granted. Well, look, you know, you've got medication that keeps you alive and that is that, but that's not the, it's great because it's keeping us alive and healthy and everything else, but that isn't the long-term answer, is it?
Yeah, so, I think it's definitely lit a fire under the you-know-whats of the people that that do this kind of thing, you know, vaccines and prolonging life and, you know, and I think it has kind of, I hope it's woken them up to the fact that that so many people have died, you know, of AIDS and HIV-related conditions over the years, and that, you know, has COVID made people realise that this just can't. It's time. The time is now. You know.
Radio Reverb. 97.2.
Hi Tanya, how you doing?
Hey Sue, I'm all right, thank you. And you?
Very well. I know you've sort of been on the show. You've done some pieces of work with the HIV over the last year, which has been great. And it was so lovely to formally introduce you last week as being part of the HIV Hour team. And I just thought it would be a really, really nice idea just to sort of get to, well, I know about you. I know all about you, Tanya. But it would be so great to just to get our listeners to know, well, who is Tanya? She's got that lovely voice on the radio, but who is she? Who is she? So let me start from asking, Tanya, do you live in the UK?
Yes, I do live in the UK, but I wasn't born in the UK.
Right, okay. Yes. Tell us more.
I was born in Zimbabwe. I come from a family of 8 children.
Whoa, really?
Yes, yeah. And I'm the 6th born.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. Yes, so, yeah, I came into the UK in 2004.
Oh, wow.
That's when I came to the UK.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I formally settled in the UK now. That's where I call home.
Yes, yeah. Did you know much about the UK before you came in? And what was the adventure? What was the reasons? What was the... Tell us.
You know what? I didn't think that I was going to come over to the UK, but in my whole entire life when I was growing up, I was just thinking I need to live somewhere in the European countries because we used to watch the films and, you know, like the Bill Crosby films and looking at the houses in America. So it inspired me that I'd like to live such a life where I would be living like Bill Crosby and, you know, like people who were, you know, Whitney Houston, all the black women, Oprah Winfrey. So that's what inspired me.
Different culture, different experiences. Yeah.
So that's what inspired me so much.
Okay.
So I came in 2003, four. 2004.
Yeah.
And it was like a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister once lived here. Mm-hmm. She lived in Surrey somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't stay long.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came back home, you know, with all the dressing, the gear that she was wearing, the fashion, the trainers and everything, that made me push up and, you know.
Want to do it more.
Yes, want to do it more. So luckily I got married to a man
mm-hmm. who
came here and,
uh-huh.
you know, I followed him and mm-hmm. we started a life here.
Do tell us that first experience when you touched down in the UK.
Oh, my God. It was really funny. And, yeah, it was funny and a bit scary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mixture of feelings there mm-hmm. because nobody had told me that we've got different time zones in mm-hmm. different countries.
Yeah.
I just thought the whole world has got the same time zone.
Right, okay.
And if it is winter, it's winter everywhere. So our winter was in June and July.
That right.
was the coldest months.
Gosh.
And it was similar to here, which mm-hmm. is like summertime,
mm-hmm.
you know. So when I got on the plane, it was my first time, and it was so exciting, you know. I couldn't believe I was on the plane. I couldn't sleep. And we got here in the morning, and I was wearing, it was summertime back at home.
Yeah.
So I got, you know, dressed into my summer gear, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I just thought, oh, my God, when I touch down on the airport, people will be looking at me and looking, thinking, oh, there's a smart girl. You know, I was wearing all my mean shorts and, you know, flip-flops mm-hmm. and, you know, a camisole and my little hand luggage. Because I was told that there's so many things that you can buy here because you're going to start a life here.
Mm-hmm.
So I left everything back right. at home. Guess what? I got to the airport. And it was snowing. And I just thought, good Lord, what have I done? I've made a mistake here. I shouldn't be, you know, living here. I need to go back home. But, you know, I just thought, no, I can't. If my sister lived here for such a long time, I'm sure I can cope. I can manage.
So, Tanya, you're in the UK,
mm-hmm.
you're getting used to the weather or trying to get used to the weather. You're starting your new life with your husband and your family.
Yep.
What happened next?
I fell ill that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, it was just a sudden, you know, mm-hmm. flu-like symptom
right.
and headaches and, you know, just that funny feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go to the doctors because I had been registered as soon as I came in.
Of course.
And I just thought, let me go and consult the doctor. So mm-hmm. I went there and mm-hmm. they said, oh, it was the change of environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got some medication and mm-hmm. I started taking them and I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And that time I got a job
mm-hmm.
and I started working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. The life was just going on really nice and, you know, mm-hmm. meeting new people, friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
starting to learn, you know, different cultures, mm-hmm. starting to use a fork and knife.
Of course.
All this English, yeah. you know, traditional
sure.
stuff and, you know, getting invited to the weddings, mm-hmm. you know, sitting mm-hmm. in the chairs, sharing, you know, with people from a different skin color and,
yeah,
you know, language.
Yeah, sure.
And it was really nice. You know, mm-hmm. the people I met
mm-hmm.
took me like a family member, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was yeah. like a family friend.
Sure.
And I was getting invited with so mm-hmm. many people in mm-hmm. their houses,
mm-hmm.
you know. They were learning my culture
yeah.
as well, you know,
yeah.
because we used to discuss that.
And then you got ill again, didn't you, Tanya?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, after that time, I felt really ill again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was serious.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go to the doctors again.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, this is really serious. I think it needs a proper attention. So I was taken to the hospital where they did the thorough tests.
Mm-hmm. You know, was those blood tests? Yeah, yes. Blood, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of them mm-hmm. came out positive.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it was?
No, tell us.
It was HIV.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting it.
Mm. Had you known anything about or much about HIV previous
to this? I used to hear about it and people were dying in my country.
Right, okay.
With it.
Right.
You know, but we didn't know that it was called HIV.
Really?
We used to hear it like AIDS.
Right.
You know.
Right,
it was AIDS. Oh, he died of AIDS. She died of AIDS.
Right.
You know. So when they said it was HIV, and I just thought, HIV, how do we differentiate it from AIDS?
Right, okay.
Yes. Mm. So they told me about mm-hmm. it, and mm-hmm. they explained everything to me. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, so I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people mm-hmm. have died of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no. You are not going to die. You are going to live your life expectancy.
Wow.
And that gave me hope.
Yes.
Because I was hopeless after that, after being told that. You just think this is it. That's the end of it. That's the end of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me hope after, mm-hmm. you know, diagnosing me and mm-hmm. telling me about the medication, which is working until now. It's really good. And I've done mm-hmm. so many successful things that I wasn't dreaming of,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking that I was going to survive up to this end now and doing all what I want and achieving it.
How'd you cope with the medication, Tanya?
The medication at first, it was effective. It had side effects
that I
got from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those side effects, they were not very, very serious, but I was told that don't take everything for granted.
Yeah.
You have to go and see your doctor if you experience these side effects.
Of course.
So I went to the doctor,
mm.
and the treatment I got that time,
really?
I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed at all.
Right.
You know, it made me feel, I lost my confidence. I cried. I felt just discriminated and stigmatized.
What actually happened, Tanya?
The thing is, the doctor, when he looked at the computer after I told him about the side effects, he saw that I was HIV.
Right.
And that time, on the computer, it was written in red, which made it worse for me,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he got up, like, being shocked that mm-hmm. I was HIV.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a spreading disease, which is spreading very quickly and kills people, you know. So he got to the across the room and mm-hmm. got some gloves
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
put them on.
Yeah.
And he wore an apron.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a mask somewhere, I'm sure he was going to put it on as well so that he could protect myself and him, you know, to be in contact. And I think he didn't want to breathe the same air with me or shake hands with me
mm-hmm.
because he just thought it was just like a virus which was going to spread within the room. And that made me feel so bad.
So, Tanya, so you've been through quite a lot. You're living with HIV, you're on medication, you've had a few side effects and you've accepted that sometimes can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're living well.
Yeah.
You've been in the UK quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
So what now? What next?
You know what? All along I've been hiding mm-hmm. all this story about my life,
mm-hmm.
about my condition.
Right.
But one day I just decided, you know, this COVID, it just brought the families
mm-hmm.
together.
Yes.
And to be honest
Absolutely.
And open to each
yes.
other.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, I've got my son, my only one son that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to be open to him and tell him that I was HIV positive.
And before you go anything further, Tanya, how long had you kept that a secret?
About 15 years.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
about
okay.
15 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I decided to come open to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The reaction was priceless.
Really?
It was priceless. And I felt like a heavy weight, which was on my shoulder, has been taken off. Mm-hmm. I felt really free. And nowadays, it was rare to see me smiling. Most of the people were really, it was really difficult for them to convince me with a smile.
Yeah.
You know, but now I smile wherever I go. Yeah. I always feel like I freed myself. I smile every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, with my support of my son, it's really feels empowering and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tanya, what would you say to somebody that perhaps feels as though they're keeping a secret being HIV? And I know you're not, you are unique because you're Tanya.
Yes.
But you're not unique in some of the things we go through.
Yes.
The things we hide because we're HIV positive. We've got valid reason for some of our actions.
Yes.
But what would you say to someone that's living with HIV that has perhaps a child, that has a loved one, that has a partner, that has a best friend, that they've been wanting to tell for ages. And they feel as though, you know, if they were to tell that person, that burden would be shifted, they'd get some relief. What would you say? Because you've been through this. What would you say?
Do you know what? Living with it quietly, it's not easy.
No.
But once you say it, it's a big relief. It helps you mentally as well, you know. It helps you quite a lot because after telling him, I started thinking of what I wanted to do, you know. You start putting yourself in the right place and you do what you were used to thinking of doing, that you were scared of doing.
Yes.
It empowered me and now I do what I wanted to do. I was dreaming about going to uni all along.
Right, okay.
And now, after telling my son, I just said, right, this is me.
Yes.
This is real me.
Yes.
Without hiding anything.
Yep.
What do I want to do? I wanted to do, to go to uni. So I have to do it now.
Right.
Because I'm real me. I'm no longer living a lie.
Yes.
I'm not hiding anything from my son, who is my only family.
Yes.
At the moment. Yes. So that's what I decided to do. And guess what? Mid-September, I'll be going to uni. And I'll be doing what I was, you know, really wanted to
what
do.
What you dreamed of doing
what
for a long time.
What I was dreaming of for a long time. I did it at school and I stopped. But, you know, now I want to be, my wish is to become famous.
Oh, aren't we all?
One day.
Don't we all?
One day I want to become famous. I know I'm getting on with the age, but age is just
and you
a
have,
number.
And you do have a special birthday next month, don't
I
you,
know,
Tanya?
I know,
Dare we shout it from the rooftops.
We're not going to say about the numbers.
No, we won't.
Age
we
is
won't.
Just a number.
We won't. But I think, the thing of the story is that don't let HIV stop whatever you want to do. Is that right, Tanya?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Your dreams, take them. Go ahead. Do what you feel like. If you are to tell them and feel, see how it feels with you.
Yeah.
It feels such a great relief.
Yes.
And it makes, it opens your mind up.
Of course.
You know, you start thinking way forward.
It's like a clearance.
Yes.
It's like, because, you know, I mean, I think you're aware, Tanya, that I kept a secret from my daughter for 6.5 years and that was bad enough. And the relief that came from that the inspiration I got from literally saying them words, and it took me 6 years and it wasn't easy. We're not saying it's easy, but to find in that little bit of courage to open and to say that they can, it can let other things, other positive things in, like you said, right, okay, I'm going to fulfil my long-time ambition. I'm going to go back to university. I'm going to restudy. I'm going to do this.
Yes.
So,
brilliant. It opens the other doors, which were shut.
Exactly.
You know, once you open that door, like that secret, if you let it out, then the other doors will open and you just walk in. That's
brilliant.
How I'm feeling now because
brilliant.
Everything is falling into place.
And you're being part of the HIV Hour team.
I know. This was something that I was...
You know, the challenges are endless.
Of course they're not.
Look, Tanya, it's been brilliant, and I'm sure the listeners will really enjoy listening to see, who is this Tanya? What is this Tanya? Oh, thank goodness. Oh, wow. And we'll hope we'll have a lot of people perhaps messaging in and saying, wow, thanks to Tanya. And we want to thank you as well for being part of the team.
I want to thank you for letting me, bring out all this I was keeping in my mind and my heart all along. Yeah. So now I have to share it, and it's going to be a lesson to somebody else.
I hope so, yes.
It's going to help somebody.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Let's hope so. Yeah. Thanks ever so much, Tanya. No doubt we'll be speaking soon.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank
you. Bye.
Welcome back to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM Stereo and on DAB Radio, also on podcasts. So now we're going to do a new feature, which is World News. And after that, we're going to do Community News. So, Josh, would you like to start with your HIV World News segment?
Yeah, go on then. So mine's sexualized drug use, or chemsex, is steeply on the rise among men who have sex with men and trans women living with HIV in Thailand. Chemsex was strongly associated with getting other sexually transmitted infections, STIs, including hepatitis C. An ongoing study in Bangkok recruits men who have sex with men and trans women who are newly diagnosed with acute HIV infection. A total of 604 participants were recruited between 2009 and 2019. The median age at baseline was 26, and 98% identified as male. When comparing baseline reports from participants entering the study before or after 2017, those recruited more recently were significantly more likely to report taking amphetamine-type stimulants, including methamphetamine. They were also much likely to inject methamphetamine. Data from regular surveys showed that participants who used recreational drugs were approximately three times more likely to acquire hepatitis C or syphilis, and nearly eight times more likely to have gonorrhea. Those reporting methamphetamine injections were 28 times more likely to engage in group sex and over four times more likely to have hepatitis C co-infection. So there's a conference, and the doctor, Stefan, hopefully get this right, Wen Wei-Ku of the Taipei City Hospital in Taiwan, pointed to this data from Taiwan, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore and Japan, suggesting that chemsex is not restricted to the Western countries, but is more often studied. He stressed the need for integrated sexual health and substance use services and the importance of adopting a harm reduction approach regarding both substance use and HIV and other STI prevention.
Okay. So, it's quite interesting. The epidemiology study provides clues for designing new strategies to curb HIV-related mortality in China. So in China, HIV-related deaths are on the rise, despite years of efforts by the government to control them. So in an effort to overcome this, a new study published in Chinese medical journal dug deep into HIV-related data of nearly 30 years. The findings provide clues and trends that can help policymakers in designing further strategies to curb HIV-related mortality in China. Now, in China, as a result of extensive efforts by the national government, HIV cases have declined. However, data has shown that an estimated 1.25 million people are still living with HIV. And in 2018, moreover in 2019, the number of people dying annually from AIDS was five times higher than from all over other infectious diseases combined. Thus, to control the burden of HIV and AIDS, it is imperative to revisit the epidemiology of the disease in order to find trends that can drive effective curbing strategies.
Interesting.
I got another one from China. They did a study comparing HIV incidence in 1,222 gay and bisexual men who took the PrEP. They've been giving out PrEP, and the incidence in 507 men who chose not to take it, they found 5 HIV infections amongst the PrEP users and 28 the non-users. A study has presented in last month's International AIDS Social Conference on HIV Science, IAS 2021. This translates to an effectiveness of the PrEP for 87%, almost identical to that seen in the 2 pivotal European studies, PROUD and IPA-GAY, in which 2015 set stage for wider PrEP use in gay men, largely in the high-income countries. Obviously, as Sue said, due to China's population, it has the highest number of HIV infections in the Asia-Pacific region, counting to 29% of cases in the region. And the epidemic did start during amongst drug-injecting users and recipients of blood products, but is now almost entirely sexually acquired, with 72% of infections amongst heterosexuals, 23% in gay and bisexual men, implying because there are fewer men that are gay, at least 10 times more vulnerable in HIV than heterosexuals. So there you go. PrEP is now being available in China.
Which is good. Amazing.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, it is good. What's yours, Tanya?
Mine is a global fund in Tanzania deepen partnership to fight COVID-19 and accelerate end of HIV, tuberculosis, which is TB, and malaria. The Global Fund and the government of Tanzania are deepening their partnership with the investments to fight the COVID-19 crisis and accelerate the end of the epidemics of HIV, tuberculosis, and malaria, while building resilient and sustainable systems for health.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Stephen.
Last but not least. my story is from San Francisco. And as we know, San Francisco, New York was a hot, you know, it was at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. It was so, there were so many people dying from AIDS at that time. But year after year, San Francisco has seen the number of new HIV diagnoses fall, with their stated goal of becoming the first jurisdiction to, in the United States, to reach zero new infections. Now, the numbers have continued to go down, and they put this down to the fact that so many more people are taking PrEP. But during the height of the pandemic, people sticking closely have all been sticking close to home, as we all know. So clubs have been closed. People haven't been using dating apps as much. So the new enrollments for PrEP have dropped considerably. But now everything is reopening. There's a rush again on dating apps. And they are finding that San Francisco are worried that one health epidemic will lead to another one, you know, as in more cases of HIV. So Dr. Stephanie Cohen, she's the medical director of the San Francisco clinic, says that they still feel, they do feel that there will be a, they've got some work to do, but they do feel that they can still get back on track and hope that in many ways that they will learn lessons from COVID-19 and it will help them still get to zeros, a zero amount of people. They still are very much out there doing their work and making people realize how important PrEP is, but it's just getting people back into that routine of taking medicines regularly, being careful and remembering, you know, it's with COVID, it's all kind of, you know, people have forgotten about you know, what they have to do. So it's just about reminding people and getting people back on track so that San Francisco can try and, yeah, be the first district that is does have zero new infections.
It's interesting, isn't it, listening to the stories from around the world. It's just amazing what's happening. And it's good to get it out there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
A bit of local community news. Have you ever done any studies, HIV studies, any of you?
I've done a few.
Yeah. So there's one. There's one coming up. Well, there's one at the moment called the PEDAL study, which is asking participants about their feelings about taking HIV treatment, and that's it. So if you want to, we're going to have Diego as one of the doctors on there. I'm going to do an interview with him and David Frey, who's helping with the website and other stuff on the study. So if you want to get involved, just you can contact. I'm trying to find the details. You can either contact Dr. Giovanni Villa, and his email is g.villa@bsms.ac.uk, or Diego Garcia, and that's his email is d.garcia@bsms.ac.uk. Yeah, it's an interesting study, and we'll have him on. We'll have an interview with him in the next couple of weeks. So, Or you can go. And also you can go to their website, which is pedalstudy.org.uk, and that's got the information on there and what's it about. And
mainly just for our listeners, are they doing like incentives for this particular study? And the reason I ask that because a lot of studies they do just out of interest, really. Do you know?
I'm looking at the leaflets, Sue, and I'm not sure actually. I think it's best to go on the website and just check out.
Yeah, just inquire. I know I've done many in my time, and I've had nice little batches, and some of them sometimes just
I could put that on there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
we'll do. It's about they want to learn about people's perceptions and experiences about taking HIV medication. So, it sounds like a good study. Also, I was going to say that if you want to get involved in the HIV Hour, to contact us. And what's the email, anyone?
thehivhour@gmail.com.
Fabulous. Well, what a great show.
Yeah, wonderful. No, yeah. That's a great new feature. I think a lot of people will enjoy that. And we can build on that, can't we, guys? You know, there's so much interesting stuff going on.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I hope you have a good week. And,
you too.
Yeah, see you all next week.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.